Podcast. Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Kisami.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Where is the horse and the rider? Where's the horn that was blowing? They have passed like rain on the mountains, like wind in the meadows. The days have gone down in the west, behind the hill, into shadow. How did it come to this?
What's that? I'm
not too sure.
That's a Theoden speech in the Two Towers.
Okay. No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I don't know. People always message me saying they like the long intro, so.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let me tell you.
That one was like Stephen Wright.
It was like Stephen Wright. This week, I got a letter from somebody that says, it's good to have Andrew back. Have him do more movie quotes.
Oh, there you go.
The people like that kind of stuff. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to last week's show. Last week's show did very well. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Chris Sinzak is he's a hard-working man. This week in the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
I got nothing.
What the hell was that?
It's just like I don't have anything. I you know, it's all pretty much everything's building to this European tour, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wait, you know. Paul played a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene played a week ago. Nothing since. The soda came out. You know, everybody's excited about the Kiss Cola, Destroyer Cola. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's excited about that. That's pretty cool. As a matter of fact, my buddy Doug that I did an episode with a couple years ago, he sent me a picture of his daughter getting the last bottle at the Rocket Fizz here in it. I don't know if he tried it because he swore off sodas and stuff. And I even saw, check this out, I even saw somebody online on Facebook that ordered a bottle, just one bottle, whatever it cost them to get it, because these damn things are going for $20 a bottle on eBay, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
But the problem is that there's not a Rocket Fizz in everybody's town, you know? It's not like you can just
Heard of that.
Yeah, you can't even just walk into a, you know, a grocery store. That's where it should be, but I'm not going to tell Kiss how to do shit because, well, they're rich and I'm not. But so people are ordering it online. You go online and you look, $15, $20 a bottle. And this guy ordered one and he said, it came in the mail and I'm so happy to have it, but I swore it off. I swore off soda for Lent. So he's,
oh, I see.
So he's holding on to it, you know, and that's, hey man, you can make it. That'll be all right. did you guys see anything, you know?
I didn't see shit.
Nope, just that Gene's back to his regular Punisher for the solo tours, but that's pretty much it.
I guess the only thing that I did see was, it's a little negative, but let's see what happens. Katie Sagal wrote a book, apparently, and it talked about Gene.
There's been a lot of, like, back and forth on, like, various Kiss sites with Katie Sagal and Gene lately. I guess there's a lot of shit in the book.
He wanted to marry Gene.
I mean, we all knew he banged her. I mean, she was on his solo record. So you know how that works, you know.
She was burning up with.
But I didn't know that, like, she wanted to get married and all that. Did you?
No, I didn't know it was that. I didn't know it was that they were that close. But apparently, he laughed at her. And well, did you guys see that Sophie got upset about it?
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that.
So
either.
Apparently, Sophie was like, you know, pretty much to the idea of, you know, I don't know why you had to release this. Our family is strong. I'm like, yeah, this is like 40 years ago, Sophie. Just relax. She's just, you know, telling what happened in her life. Anyway, I you know, but it's still, I guess, you know, upsetting to a child.
I guess. But yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago before he even knew Shannon, you know?
Before she was ever born. Relax. It's all good.
Slow news week.
Yeah, that's what we get. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, so let's just get to our topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
And that is potluck. We're going to talk about...
Grab bag.
Yeah, things that we want to talk about. And...
Party mix.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, really each one of us, is, you know, came up with a couple of questions that we want to ask each other and see what they think. And, yeah, let's see how... We've done this before.
Yeah. It's a nice standby when there is when you don't have a topic.
When there's no news.
And no news and, like... What are we going to do? So, yeah, grab bag.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here we go. I have the first question. How much damage do you think Kiss is doing right now to themselves by not releasing the fourth video in their series?
Of Kissology?
Kissology.
Yeah. I don't think it matters at all, really. This far in, I don't think they're hurting themselves.
Like financially or...
Well, I would say both. You know, do you think that...
Because they got enough to cover them.
Sure.
Isn't part of it the whole fact that they can't call it Kissology unless they do it with VH1 again or something? Isn't that the deal? But, I mean, how long has it been? It's been like 10 years at least, right? Since Kissology 3? I don't remember the date, but at this point, it's like, I don't expect it to ever come out. I'd rather they just started a new series... And found the old footage again and started back at, you know, the beginning again. Because I don't want to see a bunch of shit that's modern. I just don't care about it. Except for the commentary tracks. I do enjoy that, no matter what it's about. If it's Gene and Paul just talking about what they're watching, it's cool. But, I mean, do you really want to see a Sonic Boom full gig? And, like, maybe they'll have that one that was on Axis TV. I mean, do we need that? I don't need it.
Well, sorry, you're on the YouTubes.
Yeah, that too. I mean, what isn't? See, that's what I'm saying. They should go back to the vaults if there is said vault.
I do believe that they need to release more stuff from, you know, from the early 70s, you know, because people love that stuff.
A big one for a semi-modern time would be Des and Adam brought this up on their Paul Stanley solo episode for his birthday episode, but like if someone could find a full... Phantom of the Opera footage of Paul doing that, that would be something to fucking see.
I'd be interested in that for sure. I've seen a lot of like handheld footage of it, but never like a pro shot.
I just have the handheld from like the balcony. It's really crazy too, because at one point, I guess the girl's name is Christine. That's the girl in the play, and she's singing, and Paul Stanley's like, "Sing to me, sing to me." It's just like, there was Paul. Wow. That was Paul. You know,
when you need me, over your shoulder.
It's cool too, because at the end of the video. There's like backstage footage. Well, it's not really backstage. It's like backdoor footage where a lot of times, you know, when the artists that are doing the play leave, they go out the back door and there's usually people waiting there with their playbill or whatever to be signed. And Paul's there and he's got short hair and he's signing the things and making jokes. It's pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
So we agree that they need a new video. We haven't had one except we did get the Vegas thing. And that pretty much covers Tommy and Eric, because it really is a kick-ass video. But
how many times have you watched it, though? I've only watched it one time.
Well, I've watched it at least three times, but I've listened to the record a couple of times, too. Because I have the double record now, and I was all excited about that.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm just always have been more interested in the past when it comes to Kiss. I think most people are, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's certain things that I would love to see on, like, whatever you want to call it, a Kissology 4, that aren't necessarily from the 70s, like a pristine copy on Blu-ray of, like, the Animalize Live and Uncensored, you know, like you guys said, the Phantom. I would like to see that Kobo show that you were at that was supposedly supposed to be something. I mean, they said it was going to be something, so that should be included, right?
Right, yeah, the one when I went to Detroit to like see the... last... 35, Alive 35, yeah.
And nothing ever materialized. But I would love to see that Boogie, that Canadian TV thing. We always talk about the same shit. We still have a list of things we want to see. You can mark I off of it, though, so that's cool.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, and, you know, we're still waiting for somebody to produce some footage of Ace Frehley getting electrocuted.
Yeah, I thought that was coming in.
I thought it was, but it didn't happen.
Hey, speaking of stuff coming in, I want to thank, what was his name, Kevin, that sent me that awesome podcast, Rock City Coffee mug.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's more like a thermos. It's pretty badass.
Yeah, yeah, Kevin.
So thanks a lot for that, Kevin.
He messaged me recently. Yeah, he designed it, and he set it up, and he asked for your address, and, yeah,
and
it came in the mail,
and it's got, like, every guitar from every player. So you got, like, a Les Paul for Ace, PS10 for Paul, you know what I'm saying? It's got the yellow, Bruce's yellow Chiquita. It has an Axe bass, I believe, or maybe a Punisher.
It's got the
have a body glove guitar?
No body glove, but it does have like a Charvel for Mark St. John, which is cool. Ooh, maybe a Jackson, but same damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for Tommy, it has the white Les Paul. For Vinny, obviously, a V. And yeah, it's pretty groovy, man. So thanks so much for that. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I've had it for a couple weeks, and I keep forgetting to mention it on air.
All right, so that's our thing about, you know. All right, so that's the first topic question. Kiss, you know, you think that they're not missing the boat. However, they should, you know, man, I don't see why they don't release a video every 6 months. We would buy them.
Yeah, you know? I was about to say. I mean, they are missing the boat in terms of they. You know, it'll sell because there's a core of us that'll buy just about any kind of video they put out.
Yeah, the Vegas video was number one for like 4 weeks straight.
Yeah. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah,
it was.
I mean, it's cool for what it is, but again, I think if I was like 10, 12, 13 years old, I would think that was the absolute shit. You know what I'm saying? I would love it to death, but being me, I like the old shit better. That's all. It's still cool, though. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Do either of you guys have a question? You ready?
I got some. Okay. I got a whole list of shit that we could pull out of this bag. Do you guys think that Paul Stanley thinks that he can and should produce because of the success of Animalize? I mean, is that why Paul will not use another producer because he produced Animalize and it was multi-platinum? Platinum Plus or whatever you want to say.
That's a tough question. You know, it's tough. You know, obviously we're giving opinion and it makes it tough, but I would think that.
What do you think?
Partially, I would bet that's it, but I would also think that, you know, Paul just wants to do what he wants. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it the way I want to do it. You know, I don't want any outside people. You know, although, you know, if you think about every one of their really good albums, there's always outside people.
Right. Don't get me wrong, Animalize is great, and he produced that by himself. But, and what, he had Gene's name on Asylum, right? So, yeah. I mean, those were two pretty successful records, definitely. For Kiss in the 80s, two of the biggest, right?
So yes.
So maybe he's like, look, man, I've produced platinum records, so who you telling? Do you know what I'm saying? I could see where he's coming from, but we keep preaching he needs a producer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kiss needs
what
a producer.
What do you think, Andrew?
I actually think it's him partially compensating for his voice failing. Like, it sounds kind of weird, but
so he
just
needs,
mean, like
more credit.
Like if he can't do that, then still singing or whatnot, but just like he's doing more positive in his eye for Kiss, I think. And it's just like, well, if I can't do that just psychologically, but if I, you know what I mean? Like maybe he's not necessarily thinking about it, but it could be subconsciously that like he wants to do more and more on his own, just sort of, just for his ego.
I hear you.
I mean, do you think that, I mean, seriously, one of the biggest fears that like some, you know, like musicians have is going in with a producer and the producer looking at you and going, you can't cut it, you know?
Oh, yeah. So he thinks that like if he had Ezra, and Ezra would be like, look, Paul, we're going to have to bring in, you know, Alice Cooper, whoever is the equivalent of Dick Wagner for vocals. You know what I'm saying?
Although I'm not going to lie, you know, the Monster and Sonic Boom, I didn't think he sang poorly on them.
No,
he's
fine.
It's pretty rough on Monster.
But
it's a lot of fucking auto-tune.
But yeah, there is some auto-tune on that. That's true. But do you think that, like, you know, that that's a part of his fear? He doesn't want to hear about it, you know?
Could be, yeah. Just if he's in control, then no one can corrupt his vision of what he wants to, like, achieve. Yeah, like, he knows his voice.
I think Joe hit it right on the nail on the head, dude. I mean, you know, Paul Stanley's got an ego the size of Gene Simmons is, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, he doesn't, like, outwardly say it, but it is as large as Gene's, and he doesn't want someone to tell him he can't cut it. You know what I'm saying? I think you just figured it out, Joe. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
I mean, like, Greg Collins would never say such a thing to Paul Stanley, but dude, Bob Ezrin just might. You know what I'm saying? He may pull out the old whistle and call him in and tell him some kind of shit like he ain't cutting it. You know what I mean?
Right. True. Yeah. But, you know, we constantly hear stories about, you know, I mean, like, look at, like, Cinderella. Fred Curry didn't even play on the first, like, two damn records, you know? Yeah.
It's a lot different than a lead vocal, though, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, you take something like that when somebody walks in and goes, you're not good enough drummer, or you're not a good enough put any musician in there, singer, guitar player. That's a lot to swallow, man. That first,
yeah,
you know, you look at that. You look at that Cinderella record. That first Cinderella was a huge hit. He's torn the world. He's becoming world famous. I didn't play on the record, and he knows it.
Right.
You know, and that and for me, I'm not really sure why, because I listen to dude play. It's not like he's bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I've seen them live. They're a kick-ass band. Who, you know, I don't know. It does, so if you could do that, you could do that to anybody, any musician, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's a real good chance that if my band that I was in ever got signed, then I went into the studio, if there was a producer in there, he'd look at me and go, yeah, this guy's going to write your solos. You know? So that's what I think, and I think that we agree on that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've never even thought of that, but yeah, I think that could be it. That could be it.
Look, and look at this also. What happened to the writing? Paul Stanley stopped writing about sex.
Yeah.
You know?
It's more about, like, we are the best and our fans are the best and rah-rah, sis boom bah.
Yeah, and nobody, you know, and if nobody likes you, screw them, you know, freak, blah, blah, blah. You know,
all that, but yeah.
You know, they don't write the way they wrote.
Well, you can't know, expect in the 70s. Them.
Well, they're not those people.
We can't expect them to be in their 20s anymore. But at the same time, but I know what you're saying. I mean, it's Kiss, so it is timeless. So they could potentially write those kind of songs still.
I mean, look, you still want Tommy singing a Spaceman song. Why can't Paul sing a Starchild song?
I don't want like a Lover song. A
fucking Spaceman song.
No, but he does.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, he does Out of This World.
I know he does, but I thought you were saying, like, we wanted that. I didn't want that.
No. What I'm saying is that even though, you know, it's a different time period, they still hung in with the character of the Spaceman. They put a record out, there's the Spaceman song, you know, Out of This World, or, you know, whatever. And
but it's a Star Child song, you know.
But you know, Paul Stanley, you know, he sings about
love.
Chicks. Love.
Yeah, but he also sings about believing. Like, I think he's already writing that, but the problem is that if you get in that mindset, you get shit like Out of This World on there.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, if he's like, right, he wrote Take Me Down Below because he's trying to grasp the past. I think that's them forcing a 70s song. Like, if they actually stuck to what they were doing on Carnival and just wrote what they wanted, you know, just it would be better product. That's why I don't have any emotional attachment to Sonic Boom or Monster, because I think it's just product. There's absolutely no substance or soul in there whatsoever.
But do you think that it's because it's so much further beyond since they made, you know, Psycho Circus was what, 98? Sonic Boom was what,
2009?
Yeah. So I mean, that's a huge gap. So, but if it, suppose that those records would have just came out in succession, like Kiss used to, do you think that you'd be looking back on it with a little more, like, what's the word?
Nostalgia?
Nostalgia, yeah.
No, because I don't really feel that way for Psycho Circus either. Like, except, well, a few tracks.
That's a good
like,
point, yeah.
Psycho Circus and Within and Dreamin' are fantastic. But oh, and Journey of a Thousand Years.
Journey,
but
that's the one.
Rest that album is just filler crap. Right. I
do have a little bit of nostalgia for it, even though I don't like the record. I like that. I kind of liked that time frame until the album came out. You know, we've talked about that to death.
I
but,
don't have much nostalgia because I wasn't a fan then.
Right.
Like,
you're
I've
still
been
just
a wee thing.
Wee,
like, would have been five, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I don't know how much nostalgia plays into it. I'm not sure.
No.
It's just weird to have that long of a gap. You can't really expect them. I mean, it should be a completely different animal.
Paul was planning on making any more albums after, because he had such a bad taste from Psycho Circus and whatnot, that kind of turned him off from making records for a while.
Yeah, probably would have turned me off too, man.
Mm-hmm.
That record's just
one big missed opportunity.
Yep, one big letdown to people like me, who like were so excited. We've talked about it to death. You know my feelings on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the next question, though?
I do.
What you got?
Did that sound like a question the way I said, like, in a question, like, I do?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that wasn't on purpose. This one is, how do you think Paul and Gene's upbringing affected their success? Example, Gene coming to America and just seeing all the potential.
100%.
And like how much he can achieve versus him growing up. Do you think in the U.S. just being born and growing up in the U.S. he wouldn't have as much of an appreciation? So would that deteriorate from his drive and his pursuit to be as successful as possible? And in Paul's case, with him not, like, if he came from a childhood where he wasn't bullied, like, if he didn't have microtia and just was a normal-looking kid who didn't have anyone tease him, would that affect his drive to be the best and be as popular as he can be? So, yeah, basically, their childhoods, how do you think it would be different if they both grew up,
just
I don't want to say normal, but just in, like, a circumstance where they didn't have to deal with that.
That's a good question.
A really good
that would affect their success, because would they have been as hungry?
I think
to
it
achieve?
Would make a big difference.
Because I think so, too.
I mean, we know that's why they both had that drive, you know? Those are the reasons, and that's a pretty nice reason, you know? Gene wanted to make it for, basically for his mother, you know what I'm saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
And so, I don't know that way, because, like, Florence would have still been there whether he was born here or anywhere else. So I don't know. But I guess she still would have been a survivor of the Holocaust, and that's a big, like...
But I think it was more that he saw, like, how you can do anything you wanted
exactly.
to. You can be anyone you want to be in the U.S. if you just had the drive to do it. So I think
okay,
it would
so the question would be, would Gene have become a star if he stayed in Israel? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
without coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
so. Definitely. Well, I can tell you this. There's no way I believe that his mother would have let him be a bum.
No, definitely not a bum. Not like Stanley.
Well, I think he would have been someone because just like going to the stories of... you know, like, where he was a kid in Israel, like, he was already an entrepreneur, like, he was already picking cactus fruit and then selling.
Right.
Selling it to, so he always had that drive, but I think it still would have been different if, like,
too. He probably would have been, like, a successful, whatever, businessman in Israel had he stayed there, but coming to America and seeing the open doors and opportunity everywhere, and then we got the deal.
Like, if he was just a citizen of the U.S. his whole life, I don't think he would have had drive, but he wouldn't have appreciated as much, and I don't think he would have had that extra push that he did versus being an immigrant then coming to America.
Yeah, because, you know, in his book, he talks about so many of the little things that he would see and be like, my God, you know.
Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread. Yeah.
Yeah, everything. Movies, especially.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's where that was his first love, was movies.
Right. Yeah. And don't forget, you know, before he was ever in Kiss, you know, he was working for Vogue, you know, it was.
And he had his own fanzines and shit. Gene was into everything. And yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
And I know I've told you guys before, when the new Kiss comic came out, I was at the place in Marietta called Dr. No's, and I was getting a comic book, the first comic, and the guy that runs the place, he told me that he still has some, like, magazines about comics that he wrote in, that Gene had written in. And when he'd done an interview with Gene, once Kiss's new comic came out, he was discussing it with him, and it was, like, blowing Gene's mind. You still have that stuff, you know?
That's awesome.
So Gene was always into it. Now, Paul is a different, you know, subject, you know?
Totally.
Because Paul, you know, he was pushed. You know, it was almost like he got pushed into this corner, you know, like, and then he came out like a rabid dog, you know. Yeah. You know, whether it was, you know, picking on him because of his ear. I mean, that really was the main thing, because once he covered that ear with hair, he's bang, 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 bang everywhere he goes, you know, or at least in his story, you know, there's women whose husbands leave him, he's with girlfriends whose boyfriends leave him, he's with, you know, he's teaching kids to play guitar. Oh, what's the payment? A little of this, you know, it's like, so his ear was his main drive, I think.
And like his parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He never really got approval from his parents.
To the point where, you know, he was so disgusted. I don't know if that's a good word to use when it came to his parents, or how about disappointed, that he even, like, did his best to, like, upset his mother, like, talking about the fact that he had crabs and like that.
It's crazy.
You know, I would have never had that conversation with my mom, you know? It's like, hey, Mom, guess what? I got crap crawling around my junk. I got to go in. It's like, no. You know?
You know, people, they ask me all the time, they said, Paul, why do you keep scratching at your drawers? Tell Mama.
No, I don't have anything else for her. Sir.
So I said, hey, Mom.
I got these things crawling up and down me. I got in the ladies' room.
That was fucking awful.
I went to the doctor.
There's only one thing that's going to get them off. What's that? Shave it.
Have mercy. All right, so we agree that it wasn't like, you know, their drive came from their life situations.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
You know, Paul wanted out, Gene wanted up.
There you go.
Because Gene was, you know, already, you know, kind of living in a nicer neighborhood and everything, you know.
Had a supportive mother.
His mom busted her ass too, you know.
Yeah.
When you read about the what did she do? She put buttons.
Button factory. Like,
for like a penny a button.
Mm-hmm.
And she was bringing home like $100 a week. Damn.
Right.
You know.
That's a lot of freaking buttons.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. I would have looked at it and been like, "Can I staple these bitches?"
Something, man. That's tedious work. I've only ever had one job like that, and I lasted 2 weeks, and I just could not do it anymore.
Yeah, I had a job like that where I had to fold paper.
Yeah?
For mailers, and I got a certain amount per, you know, thing, like a half a cent. Damn!
Man.
Yeah, I used to roll newspapers.
Yeah.
What'd you get paid for rolling newspapers?
I don't remember. It was 10 or 11. It was a lot of change for when I'm... I was 11, that's for sure, but I can't remember.
That's cool. Well, at least dude, my first job was that job I was telling you about, and all I did all day long, these little metal pieces would come down this conveyor belt, right? And I had to pick them up and, like, put them on this belt sander for, like, 30 seconds on either side, and then they were shined up, right? And I did it for the first week, 8 hours a day. This is, like, so fucking boring. And I finally asked this other dude, I was like, what are these things? And it turns out that they were some piece of some type of abortion machine. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, people can do what they want. I don't care. I believe in choice, but still, I don't want no part of making some abortion machine. You know?
It's like a really weird Twilight Zone episode, because normally there's some weird irony, but it's just he had a boring job and then he found out.
Yeah. That was like my only straight job, and then after that I started teaching guitar for years. You know, I was like, fuck, I can't just sit here 8 hours a day and shine these abortion parts.
Yeah, it'll eat you alive.
This is too much.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah, back to on
you know the track. company is Gone Baby Gone.
Oh jeez.
Commercial has that song by Violent Femmes.
Let your backbone slip here on Podcast Rock City. Yeah.
Oh god.
Okay, here, I'm ready for my question.
All right.
if Kiss were to do a new record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you Tommy. Like to see them?
Sorry.
Would you like to see them write at least one song with Ace Frehley?
I really don't give a fuck. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't say no to it. Sure.
No, I wouldn't say no, but I'm just like, I'm not sacrificing a goat.
I'd rather see him write with, like, Desmond.
But do you think that would influence, you know, a new song, Ace and Paul wrote it. Would that influence you, you know, to what if there was a couple of songs on there? You know, Ace isn't playing on it, but him and Paul got together at his, at his house, and they, you know, hashed out a few songs. And
could be cool. Do you
know how that started, because Ace wanted to portrait, and then...
Do you think that if Ace were to write with Paul, that Ace could pull that classic sound out of Paul?
It would be new. You know, like it might be a little bit of a spark of creativity.
Right.
Well, which ones do they co-write together? So, I mean, what kind of sound are we talking about? They did what? Like, I think...
Coming Home.
Coming Home. What else? Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom, the beginning's Ace. The
George.
The part where it gets rough. It's Paul. But yeah, I mean, I would love to have Ace work with him in any capacity, really. You know, I love Ace so much.
I think it'd be cool.
I'd still be more interested in them writing with someone like Desmond or, you know, a great songwriter of some sort. Bring back Michael Bolton. Or Vinny. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Ace and, you know, that would be cool. I'd rather Ace just wrote a song for Kiss without Paul, because all the great Kiss ones that Ace wrote, he wrote by himself.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So yeah, that would be awesome if Ace would just write him a few songs, and maybe Vinny could write him a couple songs, you know what I mean? We could have a contest, we could write him a couple songs, that classic 78 could send in their demos. That'd be cool. Be super cool.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Get a Ouija board and get Eric Carr back in the mix.
Oh, have mercy. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Oh, what, you could probably trigger. You could probably trigger the planchette to where, as it moved, it could be like triggering drums.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's moving around. That'd be different. I'd be scared. I would be scared.
I would be scared.
Would the median get writing credit?
That's a good question.
End up channeling Bob Ross instead. Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Happy little lightning bolts.
You said wrong number.
Just a happy That's little awesome. Drum fill.
All right, Jody, go.
I got one for ya. If we could go back in our mythical time machine, right?
I have my time machine.
Yeah, everybody's got a time machine, right? D-Rock has one in his garage right now. Anyhow, if you had a time machine and we could, and the three of us could go back, would you rather see? You got three choices.
Oh no!
Would you rather go to Kiss at Coventry, okay, or Kiss in Lisbon, first show of Lick It Up, non-makeup, right? Or would you choose Detroit '96 Tiger Stadium, first official makeup show. What you gonna do? Kiss a man who runs wild on you. You go to Detroit?
Uh-huh.
I could see it. I would kind of want to go to Portugal, dude. I would love to see that first non-makeup show.
That'd be cool, too.
Okay, if I go to Detroit, where am I sitting?
Front row, dude.
Oh, front row? Oh,
at any of these shows, we could be a side stage. See, for me, I mean, I saw the reunion a couple days after that Detroit show here in St. Louis, and then Coventry doesn't look like it's that happening. I'd love to see it for, like, historical value.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really be interested to see exactly what was on their faces as they came out the first time, you know, there in Lisbon, and what, just to watch Gene like freaking out, you know what I'm saying? And we could see if he did the blood and shit finally.
You know, can you even find like close up shots for, you know, from that, or is everything, you know?
I think the only ones I ever see, it always seems like it's shot off of Gene's side, like. From the side, almost.
Yeah.
But I would love to have been there for that. Can you imagine how... I don't know. It would have just been a trip. Because a lot of those people didn't know they weren't going to be in makeup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's what I would have done.
I just think it would be really cool to see them come out. Just Gene in particular. All scared and stuff. It'd be cool.
Yeah. I wonder how demon-like face expressions and, you know.
Yeah, he's still probably stalking and doing the, like, Godzilla walks and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
So Jody and I are the first Lick It Up show, and Andrew would go to the...
Tiger Stadium.
Man, Tiger Stadium, that's a good one too, though. So
I would love to have been there for that one. But again, I saw it, like, I think 3 days later. So
yeah,
it was pretty much the same, except not as huge. And they were a lot, like, they were tight in St. Louis. They were pretty loose if you watch the old Tiger Stadium vids, especially at the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why. But I'm surprised no one went with Coventry, dude. Who doesn't want to go there to time machine back to Coventry?
No, I would. I like that idea, too, but I think that I'd like to see something when I was a fan, you know?
No, I mean, you'd be your age now, and you'd go back, and you'd still be a fan.
Oh, okay, yeah, but still, I think I'd like to see the first non-makeup show.
Yeah, that'd be the shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the Coventry vid, it's not that happening. There's not that many people there. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be cool to see in color, though.
It's true.
In Technicolor.
Yeah. 3D.
Let's see. Andrew, what you got?
So my one I have is if it's all the way up to Creatures of the Night, if they said to the media that Kiss is done, they're calling it quits, and then they were successfully able, like, they changed their names, like, so Vinny, Eric, Gene, and Paul.
I think I know you're going with this. I think I see.
Yep, they changed their names successfully and changed the name of the band. So. I don't have a name off top, but they changed it to something else, and they were able to get a record deal and whatnot. Do you think they would have had a lot more success in the 80s? Because they had a lot of those great songs from the 80s, but because of the name and the stigma, Kiss, it's that fucking makeup band.
Right.
They didn't get any push. They hardly got any push. Do you think Heaven's on Fire would have been... like a massive single that could have propelled them to Def Leppard status if nobody knew it was Kiss and they just thought it was a completely different band?
That is a really good, well thought out question.
She's saying, like, if Lick It Up came out in a different name and different photos on the back.
Exactly, yeah.
I think it would have been a huge success because it already was a success even with the Kiss stigma. You know what I'm saying? So if they dropped that and had the same tunes...
They think it's a completely different band.
Yeah,
now.
You make them like look like whoever was popular at the time. You know? Hell yeah, I think it would have been a huge hit.
They could have... Oh, they fucking... I don't know what year, but it said they could have called them Four Non-Blondes.
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
They would have named the band Hug. Would have been a giveaway.
I think that anyone that heard it, though, that was a Kiss fan would clearly hear Paul's vocal and go, that's fucking Paul Stanley.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one right there. You know, would we have recognized, we would have recognized Paul's voice, right?
Easily.
Mm-hmm. But you hear that lisp from a mile away.
So I would say, yes, it would be a hit.
People always ask me, they say, Paul, are you Paul Stanley? I said, of course not, that's ridiculous.
I'm Stevie.
I would say that it might not live. It might not have lived that long because, you know, it would have been the record comes out, they Lick It Up's a hit, mm-hmm. and people are going, I think that's Kiss. I think that
they wouldn't be able to play live, either.
Why not?
Well, yeah, maybe.
No, because they haven't done the unmasking yet. So that was the whole point. Was.
Yeah. I think I could tell Paul.
Yeah, you could tell Paul.
You know, even if you've never seen him.
But that's why I said, in like a fantasy world, if they could make transition over. Yeah.
Well, I think that'd be a huge hit then.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, I think what Joe was saying, were you saying, Joe, that basically it would have lasted a couple records only, though, because that kind of music died?
Well, I think that people...
But they already pushed through, like, to Crazy Nights and whatnot during Still Riding That Hair.
No, you're right. Well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the anonymity of them, people knowing that they're not, thinking that they're not Kiss, you know, thinking that they're a new band. How long would that have lasted once?
Well, that's why I'm saying it's like a fantasy world if they could completely fool people.
Yeah.
If they could, I think it would have been a hit because it was a hit as Kiss.
Mm-hmm. But I think it would have been like Bon Jovi level.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not that far, but it could have been.
It could have been.
A lot higher.
Yeah, it could have been a Bon Jovi or Poison or whatever. Def Leppard, sure. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was a good question. Jody.
Yeah.
Jody, we have time for one more.
Hey, I made a Sweet 16 if you guys want to do that instead.
Yeah, let's do that.
You want to do that, Andrew?
Sure.
People are always messaging me, when's the next Sweet 16? I'm like, dude, we can't do it every episode or it'll burn out.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, and thank you guys. You can send us your ideas on our questions, podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. And while Jody's getting ready, I want to tell you guys, I will be next Sunday, I'll be at WrestleMania in Orlando, Florida. So if you see me walking around with my Kiss shirt on or my Podcast Rock City shirt, come over and say hello. I don't know how many of you guys are big wrestling fans. I would imagine a few.
Well, it's Kiss, so yeah.
I think most people. A lot of wrestling fans. So come over, say hello. And Jody will be doing the show, hopefully with Andrew, and maybe, we'll see who we could drag in to do the show with us.
Yep. We'll do a show regardless.
Yeah.
We got you covered out there, PRC peeps.
Absolutely. All right.
Podcast Rock City, Sweet 16.
All right, Sweet 16! Yes! Sweet 16!
What are we waiting for?
Let's stop this pussyfooting around.
Oh, yeah!
Right?
Sweet 16! All right, listen!
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. All right, so this one's about the Kramer Productions. I'm not talking about live records, though. So, you know, studio productions. Eddie Kramer, right? And no solo shit either. So no Ace solo.
No.
So basically, Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun, side four of Alive 2. Basically, I think that's all I used.
Alive 3?
Well, like I said, no live records.
But you said side four of
the studio side.
I know there's studio, but it's still tech. Okay.
You know what I mean, dude.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. It'll still be
cool. All right.
It's been a minute, so let's check this out. How about I Want You versus Christine 16?
Christine 16.
I Want You.
I Want You is a piece of shit.
Oh.
You're not. Sorry,
in the balls.
Yeah.
I got to break the tie and go with I Want You. Sorry, bro. But it's so much better.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
I love
kidding.
How you said it's a piece of shit. That's awesome.
How could you blaspheme like that?
I'm sorry, I'm like Dark Superman right now.
The bizarro world going on tonight.
The bizarro. All right.
Well, how about Larger Than Life versus Mr. Speed?
Mr. Speed.
Joe?
I'll go with Mr. Speed.
Mr. Speed will take it. How about Love Gun versus Dr. Love?
Love Gun.
Love Gun, although I love Dr. Love. But yeah, Love Gun's it's fucking Love Gun.
Love Gun, baby.
Ladies Room versus I Stole Your Love.
I Stole Your Love.
Oh, I agree 100%. Oh,
yeah. All day long.
Although the live Ladies Room, but Jody's made it very clear, no lie.
Yeah. Well, I had to make these stipulations, or otherwise there's...
I know. I'm just busting your canola.
Otherwise, we'll be like for an hour going, the live version or the studio version.
And then one time we did like a sweet, what was it, like 64 or some shit? It took forever. But anyways, how about Tomorrow and Tonight versus Making Love?
Making Love. Even though I still get uncomfortable listening to that song, it is pretty rapey.
Yes, it is. I love
the solo mixed up.
Making Love. I'm going to go with Tomorrow and Tonight, so Jody has to break
You know what I'm going
to
say, bro.
Yeah.
Got to go Making Love based on the solo alone. It's like my favorite Ace solo. It smokes.
All right, Jody and I are going to go Making Love.
Funny. How about Rocket Ride versus Hooligan? Hooligan for Clint Wells.
I'll go with Hooligan.
Hooligan, what'd you say, Andrew?
I said Rocket Ride.
I say Rocket Ride, too. Yeah. Ace, come on. Ace
it's one of the greatest Ace riffs ever.
Oh, yeah. And one of the only ones where he uses wah-wah on the lead.
And a flanger at the beginning, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think so.
It's either a flanger or a phase. Maybe a flanger. Anyhow, how about All-American Man versus Shock Me?
Thank God it's a live version.
Jody and Joe, Shock Me.
I'll go with Shock Me.
Android?
I said Shock Me.
Okay, Shock Me will take it. You can't beat Shock Me, dude. No, how about Take Me versus Almost Human?
Take Me.
Take Me.
Yep. All right, well, we're into round two, fellas. This time, it's looking like this. We got I Want You versus Mr. Speed.
Mr. Speed.
I Want You.
I Want You takes it. Sorry, Andrew.
I'm terrible.
This is the studio version. It doesn't have all that bullshit at the end. You feel me?
It's still a shitty song.
No, it's really not. Yeah. But anyhow, how about Love Gun versus I Stole Your Love?
Ooh, you have to go with I Stole Your Love.
And I will too.
Yeah, me too. But see, I thought Love Gun was your favorite. This. Yeah,
it is. But man, I Stole Your Love is such a—I don't know. It's tough.
It's a barn burner, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so where were we? What did we just do? Somehow I got off track here again. Did we just do
stop?
Love Gun.
Love Gun and I Stole Your Love. Okay.
Yes.
So now it's Making Love and Rocket Ride.
Rocket Ride.
Ooh. I'll go with Making Love.
As will I.
Are you shitting me?
No, dude. Hell no, I'm not shitting you.
No.
Making Love. I hope
that Andrew gets to come to the podcast expo thing we're doing, and as soon as you guys see each other, I'm gonna go, hey man, don't forget, Jody says that Rocket Ride sucks.
I love Rocket Ride, don't get me wrong, but compared
and
to
and then
Nick
I'm
love...
gonna look at Andrew and I'm gonna go, and Dave Mustaine's a baby or something.
He is.
And just have Andrew lose his mind, knock me out.
No, I don't. I'm not a Dave Mustaine apologist. He whines about a bunch of shit. But then he doesn't even cry as much as Kirk Hammett.
And then we get the Kirk Hammett
image. And he actually has melody in his solos.
We already settled this. I told you guys, Cliff beats them both.
Dude, no. Gary Holt rules everyone. So, case closed.
Hmm.
Ooh,
I thought all you right. were a Michelangelo Baccio guy.
Me?
I'm just fucking with you.
Okay.
All right. Where are Jesus. We?
This is a blues riff inspired by Michael Schenker.
Sweeped. All right, how about Shock Me versus Take Me?
Oh, Take Me.
Really?
Shock Me.
I gotta go Shock Me too, man.
Take Me is one of my favorite Kiss songs. I know. Of all time.
This is the studio version. Does it make a difference?
Either way, I still love the song.
It is great. What? It really is great.
But that was a fucking close one.
How did that go? You were you like Joe's delay before? That was great.
I don't remember that.
He was like, take me, and you'd be like, all right, dudes. Third round. I Want You versus I Stole Your Love.
I Stole Your Love.
I Stole Your Love.
Yep. I'd say the same thing. All right. Making Love or Shock Me?
Shock Me.
Joe?
Making Love.
I'm going Shock Me, dude.
Yes.
You got to have some ace in your life. So now in the final round, it comes down to a tough choice, dude. I Stole Your Love or Shock Me?
I Stole Your Love.
Shock Me.
Damn.
That's a tough
that.
One.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I gotta go. I Stole Your Love, dude. Sorry, Ace Freaks, but man, I Stole Your Love is just one of the such quintessential Kiss tunes, man. Everything when, about
very
it.
Underrated.
Yeah, when it's in a Sweet 16, it does very well.
It almost always wins whatever round it's in.
Yeah.
Because it's won a few different ones. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Strong song.
Deserving of a nice victory. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We've got a listen, there's a lot going on Podcast RockCity.com.
Yeah. You're going to have to take that over.
No, have mercy. PodcastRockCity.com. Don't forget to go there. We have a premium section, and Jody and I and whoever's on the show with us, we always record something extra and slap it on there. It's 99 cents a month. That's it. Anyway, Jody, do you have anything to add?
I'd add thanks if you made it all the way through this thing, and thanks for listening every week, man. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Andrew.
I just heard some sirens, so I don't think I have enough money to bail either of you out. hope everyone has a great week, and if anyone has a lozenge, please send it to
me. You're going to get some in the mail, because I'm doing it at tomorrow morning. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Hey, you know, we love Kiss Podcasts, and we love podcasts, so you're going to hear all the commercials for the ones that we listen to. Right after this, in 3, 2, 1,
peace. Yeah. You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theory. We bust balls because we care.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss. Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkist.
The Podkist, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
That's okay.
I feel like James.
Then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new. What are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.